You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Good morning, Memphis. Happy Monday to you, wherever you may be. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter on X at JWright929ESPN. Normally the executive producer of the program, but I will be filling in for the week and producing the program for me will be the producer of my show, Jeffrey Wright and Company. He, of course, is George Ruggiero. Follow him on Twitter on X at KingGeorge94. George, good morning, sir.
Good morning. That's a little different intro than our normal afternoon. A
little different vibe, so we try to make it feel like it's not exactly the same show. But let's talk about what we got coming up on the program. Jeff heading up to Michigan for the 4th of July, but he's going to join us here at the start of the program. Then it'll be George and I during the next segment getting into the news and events of the weekend. Then Chris Harrington's going to join the program at 10 a.m. He's got a fantastic breakdown of what is next for the Grizzlies as we approach free agency. You can read that over at dailymemphian.com. We've reportedly found out that Santi Aldama does have an offer for an extension. It's not necessarily news. We'll kind of get into it a little bit later. We'll get into a little bit more during hour number two. We'll tell your story, and then we won't tell your story. We will say what's coming up next, then we'll get out of here. But now, let's welcome to the program the man that lends his name to the very program. He, of course, is Jeff Calkins. Jeff, good day, sir.
Hi, y'all.
You know, you said last week you felt like it was already 4th of July.
That's what I felt.
Today's the first day that I was like, it's really sinking in. Jeff was right.
Well, I'm in the minivan, headed up to northern Michigan.
How many dogs do we have in there?
I have two dogs. Okay. Not Claire. She has a memorial service to go to, so she's coming up separately. So I just have Gus is in the front seat, and Willow's in the back. And we are making our way.
How are Gus's navigational skills?
The problem with Gus is he doesn't really fit in the front seat that well.
He doesn't
fit. And so he kind of just looms over there looking uncomfortable. And now he's sort of laying down. But it's hard for a 125-pound dog to fit into a passenger seat. But they'll be happy to be in northern Michigan where it is cooler than Memphis. It's amazing here. We're already the last day of June. Here we are. We're basically 6 months into the year. How's your year been? Neither of you are resolution people, but like, I think this is a time, if January 1 is a time to take stock, I think this is a time to take stock. We're coming 6 months over. So whatever you intended to get done this year, whatever the Grizzlies intended to get done this year, we'll get to that in a minute. You know, you sort of just a moment to see, well, how am I doing on this stuff? How are y'all doing?
So I would say fair to middling. We obviously have had some transition for for the afternoon show. We do not have Dennis anymore, but that has given us the opportunity to have George be elevated to the producer's role. And, you know, George has done such a fabulous job.
And that's been a positive for the station.
Been a great ad.
That's even as we miss Dennis. Yeah, absolutely.
So, I don't know. I feel like just chugging along. You know what I mean? Like
chugging along.
George, how would you feel? I mean, for you, it's been a lot of change and a lot of addition. Your life's probably a little bit more chaotic.
A little bit. Timing is always a bit different with this type of work or this kind of work compared to what I was doing before in, like, corporate America type stuff. But I'm not a big resolution person, Jeff. So it's
yeah, none of us are. I don't think any of us are.
But stock, we're doing good. As long as we're doing well, I mean, that's all we can really ask for, right?
I want people out there to stop and take stock and try to do better the next 6 months. I did want to start, though. I find it so devastating. The shooting at Rocks, like last week, Jeffrey, we talked about the shooting at the Walmart in Barbara,
yeah,
right? You remember that. And at the time, we're like every damn argument seems to result in, you know, and people shooting each other. And yesterday there was a shooting at Rocks, the miraculous climbing gym in South Memphis that is, you know, it's kind of astonishing that it exists. It's a wonderful place. And one of the men who was killed, Jermon Johnson, works there. And I had written a column about him at one point. And he's a guy who had joined a gang at whatever, 12.
Yeah.
Who had then been gone to jail, gone to prison. He then heard about Rocks. His mom, I think, had urged him to join Rocks when he got out. And he had it become this miraculous story of flipping his life around and was part of the, you know, Rocks does, you know, they're teaching life skills and all this stuff through climbing, because when you're climbing, you count on the people around you in a way that, you know, is probably unlike any other sport, right? Because otherwise you could plunge to your death. And so he'd done that, and he actually was part of a trip that Rocks did to Mount Kenya, where he climbed Mount Kenya with the other people from Rocks, and it's going to be on a series that's going to, I think, run on Hulu this fall. Like, he's a total success story. I found him to be absolutely mesmerizing in the way he talked about his former life and his current life. And I don't know all the details. My understanding is there was someone there who was trying to get him to leave the gym. And again, this is only very loosely. I don't really know what happened. And then a gun comes out, and now all of a sudden, Jermon Johnson, success story, is dead. And it's more of the damn same. It's funny. I did a podcast. Every once in a while, people ask me to do a podcast. And these podcasts, often it's the same, some of the same ground is plowed. Like, no one wants to hear anymore, I don't think, really, about how I went from being a lawyer to a sports writer. I've told that story a million times. But we did get into some other interesting stuff in this particular podcast. But at the end of it, he asked me if I could wave my wand and change anything about Memphis. And I mean, it's pretty obvious. It's poverty and guns, guns and poverty, poverty and guns and poverty, you know, and it's just another heartbreaking one of these stories. And so I feel for everyone down there. It's a little bit like, you know, a month ago, Jeffrey, when it was at a Memphis Allies meeting or something, well, whatever that meeting.
Yeah, I recall now.
At the places where they are trying to stop gun violence, when there is gun violence, it's just devastating. Obviously, personally, for Jermon and everybody knew him, people who love him at Rocks, but it's just so stupid. It's so senseless. And then it just feels intractable. Like I'm leaving Memphis for now for a week with a heavy heart, because that's just a devastating story that unfolded yesterday. It Rocks in a miraculous place and a great place, and you know, I and you know, but it can happen in Bartlett at the at the Walmart, and it can happen at this miraculous place in Rocks, because we're all armed to the teeth, and you know, God, I miss fist fights. Anyway, enough of that. Grizzlies, what do you expect today?
So, do you think it's fair to say it seems like it's going to be a little bit before we hear on Jaren? Do you get the same vibe, or am I misinterpreting?
Yeah, no, I think the most you would hear is, for folks who don't know, free agency, nothing's official today, but they quote unquote can start talking, meaning a minute after.
I have no idea what last weekend was. I thought last week, what happened over the weekend, I thought was what's supposed to happen today.
No, people can talk to their own players.
Got it.
So over the weekend, people are talking to their own players. But now it can go beyond that. So, yeah, you had LeBron picking up his option, and you had, you know, whatever. You had Austin Reeves not picking up his option, and you had there were trades, obviously, over the weekend. And
I think Harden did the move that we're starting to see a little bit more, which is you opt out of your player option that might have been more – money per year, but you sign a deal for more years, right? More guaranteed money.
Kyrie did that too last week, right? So we're seeing that. So anyway, so at 5 o'clock today, we'll start hearing this news, and what you would, I imagine, the first thing you might hear is, you might hear about deals or things the Grizzlies do to clear money in order to sign Jaren. So I don't think you're going to hear the Jaren thing right away. Obviously, the two top orders of business are renegotiating and extending Jaren's contract and signing Santi Aldama. And so I think you might hear, with respect to Jaren, you might hear about the moves the Grizzlies do to free up money that enables them to sign Jaren. And with Santi, it's totally unclear whether I just going to reach a deal with Santi, bang, it's over? Or is it going to be he wants to go out there and see if Detroit or someone else is going to, you know, if there's a market for him apart from the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies, obviously, they have the right match. They did submit the qualifying offer, tendered qualifying offer, and so they can match any deal. But those are the fundamental things. And what's interesting is, and I thought you mentioned Chris's piece that he did at the Daily Memphian, sort of talking about what's next. What's interesting to me is, I think it's becoming apparent, and he wrote about this in that piece, is that the Grizzlies are remaking their roster around Ja and Jaren.
Yep.
And that they are, but that the time frame for them to do it is not immediate. Right? Like right now, Grizzlies won 48 games last year, right? What do you think the over-under for wins for this team would be set at? If you know, basically, let's say they add up just your basic, you know, bench-level big man.
Yeah.
Nothing, no other impact players added. Let's just assume.
Okay.
What are you, where would you set the over-under for wins?
So, George, see if you agree with this. Last year, I believe it was 46.5. I'm going to say that they believe Desmond Bain, everything is worth about 3 games. I think it'd be somewhere around 43 wins, 43.5.
Read my mind. I was immediately going towards that 42.5, 43, 43.5.
That would be my suspicion with little to no research.
Right. So it's a 500 team, basically.
Yeah.
Slight, a tick above 500 team.
Team probably fighting for the play-in.
And I think the reality is that's what's happened here, right? Is that they are, yes, they are rebuilding around Ja and Jaren. They're not blowing it up. They want to be good around those two players, but they are acknowledging, it seems to me, or I think it will be revealed, that rebuilding will take a little time. It will count on, you know, Cedric Coward becoming a good player, right? Like this isn't, we're going to go get two other players, plug them in and pick up where we left off with a slightly different cast and try to be third in the West. This is, you know what? We got Phoenix's pick next year. That could be a really high pick. We have some other picks. We can make deals, you know, maybe at the trade deadline, maybe next summer, whatever. This summer seems mostly about taking care of two guys we already have, Jaren and Santi, and then, you know, adding a, I presume, another big, right? A big who can fill in and then be a bench player when Zach Edey gets healthy. And so it does. Don't you think that's the plan? The plan is to be good again and to challenge for the top of the West again, but not this year.
I think so. The only other transaction that I'm a little unclear on, and I know Chris and you have spoken about it a little bit, but I still don't feel like I've got a better grasp. Ja is technically extension eligible. That doesn't mean he has to get an extension, but also I don't know how the mechanics work. What we are starting to see, what you're really starting to see is because the players agreed to this new CBA, they've agreed to essentially a hard cap. And what a lot of guys have had to do is take deals that give them more guaranteed money, but their yearly total is dropping. And so I don't know if maybe they try to, you know, address Ja that way. It doesn't make a ton of sense to me, but like it is something that's out there.
Like to me that, I mean, you can revisit this with Chris at 10 o'clock when he's on. It is interesting. Like he wrote a whole piece about what the Grizzlies might or might not do in the coming weeks. Ja's contract wasn't mentioned. And so I guess I would be surprised if they address that. Heading into the offseason, you know, there, certainly nationally there was a lot of, are they going to move on from Ja? And I think the signs, and this is one of the points that Chris makes, is that you can actually learn a lot about the Grizzlies if you just pay attention to what Zach Kleiman says.
Yeah.
Like, people may not believe it, but like, or don't want to believe it, and certainly nationally they seem to don't pay attention to it. But it's an interesting point. Like, the team has been pretty clear. Like, at the end of the season pressers, they said, we want to extend Jaren, and we believe in Ja, and they didn't really say much about Desmond Bane, you know? And they also said, we aren't one player away, and we're not good enough. And if you literally just look at what they've done since, well, they're trying to extend Jaren. Ja, they've both Ja and the team, like Ja on Twitter the other day when he said, you know, I'm going to be in debt 901, like Ja made it clear he's going to be here. The team has made it clear they want him to be here. And then in terms of the we're not one player away, they didn't opt to go get some, you know, B-plus player who they could plug in as a wing. They opted to take a swing because they know they're not one B-plus player away. So literally the things that he has said is that the things that they have done. And so from that perspective, it's not a particularly exciting, it doesn't seem to be a particularly exciting free agency period for the Grizzlies when all you are basically doing, it feels like, is taking care of two guys.
The joys of driving.
Ah, yes. Let's see.
We'll just be.
Okay, there you go. Sorry.
Am I breaking up?
Yeah. You're clear. You're clear now. So yeah. Go okay. Back to.
I'm sorry. It feels like. Yeah. It's not a particularly exciting offseason when the main things you're doing is taking care of two guys you already have, or making moves to get Murda money so you can take care of the two guys you already have. Right. I mean, that's what we're looking at. It's not. That is not electrifying. It is sensible.
Yeah, I'm with you. I do wonder. Are we discounting KCP a little bit? Like, I do agree that I don't think he's going to equal the play of Desmond Bane, but he does give them something a little different on the perimeter than what they've had.
No, I think, listen, if they had added KCP, you would have said, this is a better team, right?
Because right, but it's the fact that they traded, yes.
To Desmond Bane. Yes, but no one will make the argument that that he's better than Desmond Bane, right? So, I mean, I could see him, like, whatever. If you set the win total at 42.5.
Yeah, somewhere in that 43 range. Yeah, 42.5, 43, something like that.
I mean, the truth of the matter is, if they stay healthy, you know, if Ja stays healthy and Jalen Wells takes a step forward and, you know, KCP looks more like he did a year ago than this past year, yeah, I could see him hit me over there. I could see him hit me over there. But it is interesting. It feels like heading into last year, you're like, you know what? We're as good as Oklahoma City. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. Even into the year when you're second in the, you know, when you're second in the West, there was a game against Oklahoma City. You're like, now we can prove our mettle.
Yeah, it was like a Saturday. It was a Saturday night. The Grizzlies had everybody back, and Oklahoma City was going to have a couple of guys short.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, here's a great opportunity to show, like, okay, all this chatter about they can't beat good teams. Like, here's a great opportunity. They're going to be at home. They got their full accoutrement, and I believe also the Thunder were coming in on the second night of a back-to-back.
Right, and they get blown out.
Yeah.
And now it feels like I think you might feel differently about Houston, but I feel like Oklahoma City's separated and Houston is separated, and I'm okay. Like they very clearly have taken a step back, the proverbial step back, in order to take a step forward, and so much of that depends on Cedric Howard not stepping in and being a great player this year, but him turning into the third best player on the team, right?
And the type of third best player that you really haven't had.
Who fits better than who fits a little better than Desmond Bane, and so that's the bet, you know. And then the bet is also, listen, we got this Phoenix pick next year, could be a loaded draft. Like, but it's not, this is not, and one of the points that Chris makes, which is interesting, is, so that's very clearly the time frame. And one of the interesting things is that there's never been urgency. Like, first we had the long window that, you know, and now they've shifted to another window, right? You know what I mean? It feels like another longer time frame. And the question is, how does that time frame, which is be good, you know, be good this year, but then be better the next year and better the next year. How does that time frame fit with Ja and Jaren? Not in terms of their presence on the roster, but in terms of their, like, have we already seen Ja at his best? Or is Ja going to be at his best possibly in 2 years? Could he still be at his best? So you're lining up now. It feels like they're creating a roster that should peak again. Not this coming season, but the next season or the next season. And what is Ja going to be in that season? We obviously don't know. And again, I think all of this is sensible, but I don't think it sets up for a particularly electrifying free agency period. But the truth of the matter is, league-wide, what is of interest to you? Like,
I think what is of interest to me is how much interesting's actually happening, because I think what we're now recognizing is this new CBA has really, really, like, dampened free agency, because, like, what you're seeing is typically in free agency, it's guys going and getting paid. And now every team's looking around saying the same thing. Like, man, we like you, but we don't like you at that price. You know what I mean?
Right. No one has money. There's very few teams have money. And so,
I'll go back to your point, because I totally agree with you in terms of what is stimulating about the Grizzlies offseason. Well, it's kind of the things that we've been talking about, what it feels like 6 months now, but I think kind of the same applies to about 15 other teams.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's not much league wide. Here's what's of interest. Is it of interest? I guess DeAndre Ayton was bought out for nearly $50 million. So, I guess that could be of interest. I mean, Dorian Finney-Smith turned down. He had an option with the Lakers. He had a player option with the Lakers, and he's going to go to – well, when Dorian Finney-Smith, good player, Grizzlies wanted him, but when he is one of your headliners in free agency, like, that's what we're thinking about in a year when we thought we would be – I mean, KD's already moved, and it doesn't appear like Giannis is moving. And it doesn't appear that Jaylen Brown is moving. It feels like the Celtics probably have done enough, right? Doesn't feel like Derek White's moving. Maybe, but like, if so, you got to come at him with a not a I'll take the money off your hands offer, but a you know a five first rounder kind of offer kind of thing. Like, so it doesn't feel like league wide there is a lot. I don't know, George, what is of interest to you league wide? Where's the sizzle in this free agency?
There's not a whole lot. I mean, as we're talking about this, I've been going through kind of the big board, the list of free agents, and a lot of these guys are either just young enough to where they're restricted. I mean, Giddy is in line for a new contract. Quentin Grimes, since going to Philly, was fantastic last year. But all these guys are restricted free agents. Like,
right.
the more likely a thing to happen is that they're going to stay where they are. I mean, right now, we all kind of expected Naz Reid to maybe hit the market, but he ended up staying with the huge contract for him. So, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, is he kind of the bell of the ball?
That's just my point. Like, if that's the headliner,
yeesh.
So again,
well, Jeff, you got me going on Friday when we were talking about how 25 of the 29. Second round picks from Thursday's second round,
right,
were had an exchange. 19 of 30 of the first round picks had changed hands. That means 74.6% of draft picks had a transaction attached to them. That was the highest that I could find.
That's
and
crazy.
In almost every other year we're looking at, it was somewhere in that 40 to 50 range. Well, last year in the 2024 draft, that was the previous high at 58.6%. We're already going above that again at nearly, you know, an additional 20%. I think it also shows that the league's kind of doing the same thing. You know what I mean? I don't think it's just the Grizzlies.
All right. What does that mean, by the way? Does that mean that picks are, well, let's be honest, money is the driver. And so picks are A, useless in the second half of the first round, generally, and in the second round. People just don't value them, and so they throw them around like peanuts. But also, you're either trying to get off money,
yes,
or you're rebuilding, and so you're just taking as many picks as you can.
I think you're doing kind of like what Brooklyn
yeah,
did. Like, do you think Brooklyn really expects all five guys to hit? Well, probably not,
right.
But if they get three to hit, well, then all of a sudden they've got
a
different outlook.
If they get two to hit, and so that's what you're doing. You're either at one stage where you're doing what the Grizzlies did, trading two firsts for Marcus Smart and then another first to get rid of Marcus Smart, right? Like, or you're doing what Brooklyn did, which is just collecting all the first round picks.
Oh, no.
Dead spot again.
As he drives north to Michigan.
Do we know where he's at, like, on the path?
I would assume he is heading northbound on I-55.
Okay, then this might not. this might not stop for a little while.
I don't know if he's in that wonderful spot of Arkansas where you just look down at your phone and it just says SOS.
Like, yeah. Right. I better not. The minivan he dropped.
Let's see. Let's see if we can get him back on the horn.
But yeah, again, let me give him a ring.
Again, I was looking it up. I'd mentioned this to George. Okay, you're back. Sorry. We know that you're in that wonderful. I assume you're on 55.
Illinois.
Oh, so you're
wow.
But are you still northbound 55?
I'm whatever the hell it is, 57 that goes up through.
Okay.
Illinois. I got a very early start this morning. I was out the door by 5.
Conagra recruited. Apparently, like, Bradley has a sales program, and Conagra recruited that, and every person that I worked with that I could not stand all came from Bradley, so I have not a great great feelings about that university.
Anyway, so I'll make this point that we have been worrying about Jaren's free agency for years, right? There's a 3-year window because
Chris nailed it the day that the Grizzlies signed Jaren, and everybody's pretty excited, like, man, this is a great deal. They got Jaren on a team-friendly deal, and Chris was like, that's all true. It is going to make him harder to re-sign, and he nailed it 4 years ago.
So if you can successfully re-sign Jaren, and by the way, not a supermax number, you know, like, that is a great thing for this franchise going forward. So I can say that it's not exciting because new players are more exciting than keeping your own, but the truth of the matter is, this is a franchise we celebrated when Mike Conley stayed, we celebrated when Mark stayed. Remember the suspense there? To get Jaren under an extended deal would be a massive, massive achievement. So I say it doesn't have sizzle because he's here, but I don't want to underestimate the significance of accomplishing that. All right, I will. Before I get knocked off again, I'll let you guys go, and I will rejoin you tomorrow. Chris Harrington will be at the top of the hour to discuss all of this. Thank you all for filling in. It is the Jeff Dawkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Looking for a sign to start that summer home refresh finally? Look no further than Blinds.com. Early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale is happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale now. Save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Chris Harrington's got a fantastic piece up over at the Daily Memphian. What are the Grizzlies doing this summer? Just listen to them. He's going to join us during the next segment. He will tell us what all he's been listening to and what he has been making notes of. But there are a couple of things that I wanted to go through with George before we take a break and get to Chris Harrington. So over at ESPN, we have the what are the insiders hearing, the free agency piece. So let's go to Michael C. Wright, what he writes about the Memphis Grizzlies. Some of this is not exactly breaking news to us, but let's take a look and see if we can gather anything from it. Credit general manager Zach Kleiman for making an honest assessment of where Memphis stands in the highly competitive West before trading franchise stalwart Desmond Bane to Orlando for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Cole Anthony, 4 unprotected first-round picks, and a first-round pick swap. The blockbuster trade represents a reset and a commitment to, quote, take different avenues, end quote, towards building a competitive roster, Kleiman said. Doing so involves retooling around star guard Ja Morant and the big man Jaren Jackson Jr., who is up for an extension. It is expected Memphis will look to create cap space to renegotiate and ultimately extend Jackson, making reserves like John Conchar potential trade candidates. Santi Aldama is a restricted free agent coming off of a career season, and Memphis hopes to bring him back. The team's 2025 draft class indicates a shift to a more physical, defensive-minded identity. So keep that in mind when monitoring any potential free agents additions for a team that will be hard-capped at the first apron. So in the first paragraph, it's kind of a lot of recapping what we already know. The Grizzlies had to make it a decision. It's been something I've been harping on, I feel like, for a few months now. When you start to look at teams, they're really going to struggle to afford three big money guys. You can have two big money guys, but what you're starting to clearly see now is teams becoming aware of the impact it has on your depth when you have three big money guys. Well, then we get to also what is known. The Grizzlies are trying to extend Jaren. Obviously, John Conchar has been a rumored collateral piece of damage, I guess, from that sense. And we also know that Santi's a restricted free agent. I believe we got a report that said the Grizzlies had offered the qualifying offer to Santi. It's kind of one of those moves where
they tendered. They tendered as a qualifying offer.
Correct.
So they
it's something that you were expected to do. Like, it's not news in the sense of
it's kind of first step in keeping a restricted free agent at home.
But then let's take a look at the third piece of this. The team's 2025 draft class indicates a shift to a more physical, defensive-minded identity. So keep that in mind when monitoring any potential free agent additions for a team that will be hard-capped at the first apron. So I think it's fair to say that. I also think it's not necessarily that they went quote-unquote defense first, but what I do think the draft picks indicated was they are looking for guys that can defend multiple positions and give them flexibility. Because, as Chris has pointed out, while Dez is not an elite defender, Dez is certainly not a bad defender, but Dez is kind of capped at one position. He's a two guard.
Yeah.
And when he's not a two guard, he would play point guard and honestly be kind of frustrating. I never blamed Dez for it. It was the role that they were asking him to do, and he did it. But it never felt like, oh, this is a guy that can really play the one when Ja's not out there. So I think when you take a look at what they've been trying to retool, it's they're trying to get guys that give them some defensive flexibility because they felt like they were kind of getting positioned. I think at times they were either too small or at times maybe they had to go too big and like they would leave themselves vulnerable. They're looking for, quote unquote, more switchability. Would you say that's fair?
More than fair.
Okay. So let's also take a look at what can they actually do? Because I think that is what is a more confusing question. So if the Grizzlies can remain from being a taxpayer, it would open up the non-taxpayer mid-level exception to them, giving them, I think, roughly $14.1 million. So now they don't have to use that all on one player. The question that I would first have is, how much are they going to have to dip into that to get Jaren signed and or Santi signed?
I'm just double checking because I saw some resources or saw some information yesterday on Twitter. I want to say, yeah, Anthony Sane reposted this. It was a really cool breakdown of where all the teams stand, whether they have cap space, they're over the cap, they're in the first apron, and what all that kind of means. Right now, this has the Grizzlies. Don't know exactly how perfectly accurate it is.
All right.
But as a cap space team, they have $4.5 million currently of open cap space.
All right.
below the taxpayer, which gives them access to the $8.8 million room
exception,
mid-level exception, that does not get them the full non-taxpayer mid-level at $14 million.
So they would have $8 million.
So around 12 and a half. looks
like. 12 and a half. And so the real question is, how much of that do they have to use to sign Santi and to sign Jaren?
Sounds like just about all of it.
I would think.
I would expect. But there's also, like you said, a couple other moves they can make there. But there's also some interesting caveats with those. For Conchar, for Jitty, to get off his money, how much are you going to have to spend to get off that money?
Or, as Chris has pointed out, if the price becomes too steep, you can, if you've decided that's
what does a buyout cost?
It's they can waive and stretch him. And that would give them some room as well. So,
and the other kicker is Cole Anthony.
Correct.
The kicker with Cole Anthony, which, you know, has been pointed out, is, so he's making, what is it, like 13 mil next season against the cap, something like that? I want to say it's around 13. The issue with that is when you trade for a player, there is a certain period of time that you cannot aggregate that contract in a trade with other contracts. So for you to move off of Cole Anthony, yeah, it's 13.1 against the cap for 25-26. There's a trade restriction until August.
And a club option. Now,
which I would expect them to probably end up declining unless things start to get really weird.
And that trade has been announced, so that one can't be tacked on to another trade, correct?
Correct. Cole Anthony, trade restriction until August 15th.
Okay.
So that cannot be aggregated.
So they could move him, it could be reported, but not be official.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, they can trade him.
That's what I'm saying. They can trade.
But they can't, like, have more than one contract going out from the Grizzlies in that same transaction.
Right. I think, though, they can essentially have the framework of the deal, though.
Yes.
And it just doesn't go official till August 15th.
Yeah.
And so that's why we could see, like, my instinct says if you're expecting fireworks from the Grizzlies at 5 p.m. today,
it'll probably be a trade.
I would temper those expectations.
Oh, absolutely. I don't.
So the real question is, what all can they do? Because I'm not wildly optimistic about the trade scenario. Not that I'm rooting against it. I think teams have known for a while that Cole Anthony is available, and I haven't exactly seen people chomping at the bit to go get him.
No one's knocking down the door to.
And then with Santi, I find this one very fascinating because, again, it's not something I would have reported because I don't view myself as a beat writer, but I believe that Santi is viewing this as my opportunity to get the big deal. And I think Chris's point is we have reached this weird stage where every single transaction seems to be judged from accounting standpoint, which is, well, that's a nice player, but not at that price. Chris's point, though, would be is if you get him at a price that most people would be like, that potentially does become a trade asset because we are now starting to see, like, in the end, the Rockets gave Dylan Brooks, what was it, 4-81 or 4-84?
Yeah.
And a lot of people thought that whole summer Dylan Brooks was packing his bags for China, and instead Dylan Brooks was getting $21 million a year. Well, even if you're someone that thought that was an overpay, where that came in handy was the Rockets needed that salary to make the Durant deal. And so even if we hear an announced Santi extension and it sounds steep, also recognize that could be another piece that you could move either at the deadline or at some point in the future in which you're going to need the money to match.
Yes, that would not shock me at all. And I mean, if we're looking at a couple different things that obviously one have gone on this weekend. I mean, look at what Minnesota did. Minnesota had a couple guys opt out, quote unquote, and then re-up for a longer term deal. Julius Randle now breaking that $30 million mark, and Naz Reid getting over, that's a really backloaded contract, over 20 a season. So part of that as well is that the cap consistently looks like it's going up.
Yes. So they are banking on by backloading the deals, they're banking on the cap keep going is going to keep going up, and then also at a point that the new TV deal will kick in and it'll take a spike.
A huge spike, like we saw. Gosh, what year was that?
It was the Conley year.
The guys were getting a ton of money just out of nowhere. So it wouldn't shock me if they end up giving. I don't think Santi would end up making Naz Reid money, but I mean, would it be shocking to you or to anyone else if he ended up getting 16, 17, 18 a season?
No, I'm more interested, though, does someone offer Santi
20?
Yeah. And then at that point, are the Grizzlies in this position where they match or they start to work out a sign and trade? Because to Chris's point in his column, and he'll explain it better during the next segment.
I don't think there's any way they just let him walk.
Oh, I don't think they're going to let him walk, because that's the whole point of being a restricted free agent. Like, they're going to have...
You have to get something out of that.
Right, but, like, what I'm more curious about is, are they more invested in bringing Santi back, or are they more invested in bringing him back at a particular price, or a price range?
Is that not the question with just about anybody and everybody?
Well, you could talk me into, because of the lack of front court depth, and even though Santi's not a perfect front court player, that they have a more pressing need to get a deal done with him. Because in the event that you can't get the deal done, even if you work out a sign and trade, it's not a guarantee that you're going to work out a sign and trade with the right team.
True. Because, I mean, at that point, we're also then looking at, okay, what teams actually have the cap space or the exception to essentially pay up.
Right, and every team is calling the Wizards and the Nets already.
Yeah, because, and that's the thing. So this functions a little differently, the NBA does, with offer sheets.
Yep.
Compared to other ones that I've seen or other leagues that we watch. The Grizzlies can just, like, if they get an offer sheet, the Grizzlies could just match it and be like, okay, yeah, we'll pay that.
It's done. Yeah. And then that's Santi's locked in at that offer sheet.
Hmm.
So this is what Chris points out today in the column. He's got a nice, clean depth chart. Okay. So at point guard, here's what we know that the Grizzlies have currently.
Yep.
Ja Morant, Scottie Pippen Jr., Cole Anthony, they're all under contract. Javon Small on a two-way. Zion Pullen on a two-way. Yuki Kawamura, unrestricted free agent. It feels like Yuki. I mean, maybe Yuki signs with the Hustle, but it does not feel like they're bringing him back on. Yeah, we salute you, young man. You gave us a lot of joy. All right, at the two guard, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope,
mm-hmm.
Vince Williams Jr., both under contract. Cam Spencer, a restricted free agent. I think they would like to bump him up to what we see that young deal that they've been giving to make him a roster spot, but they obviously have other
they
have other pressing matters at this point. Meshack, and then Luke Kennard is gone, but he's an unrestricted free agent. Then at the three, you have Jalen Wells, Cedric Coward, John Conchar, and Lamar Stevens, and also unrestricted free agent. Jaren Jackson Jr., Santi Aldama, G.G. Jackson at the four,
mm-hmm.
Zach Edey, Brandon Clark, Jay Huff, Marvin Bagley III as an unrestricted free agent at the five. So the key
There's
issues...
There's a pretty glaring hole there that I...
Correct. So the question for me is how... If we say Jaren is the first question, Santi is the second question, is the third question or the third opportunity or the third need to address, is that going to be another big? Because they did not do it with the draft.
No, they did not. Here's my thing with it, and I understand, obviously, especially with what Chris has said, is a lot of the times with the Grizzlies, especially with Kleiman, he doesn't speak that often, but when he does, you should probably pay attention because he doesn't seem to be blowing any smoke, really. So they very clearly want to get this extension done with Jaren. They definitely want to keep Santi. They've said that. But even for next year's roster, I mean, I'm looking at that, especially with Edey is out for the first, you know, we talked about it, up until what, beginning of December, give or take, if things go well?
It seems like, barring setbacks, you could get him back around the start of December, yes.
Okay, cool. So you need a center or someone to play that position for the first 2 months of the season, give or take, because we're not sure about Clark's whereabouts and health either. He had to have those injections in his knee.
Someone that enjoys being like a high minute guy.
That's true. So I don't see how trying to pick up a big at some point, and there are some guys that I think would come at a pretty reasonable cost that I think would be plenty fine to plug in, but I don't know how that's not even higher. Like, how is that not one or two? I mean, Jaron's fully under contract for next season. You obviously don't want this to go into the season and into, you know, a summer facing
that does not seem to be their intention.
That should be really no one's intention, because we always see how that ends up going. Either the player wants out and just leaves for nothing, or they go crazy and get even more money.
Again,
at you, Superman.
This has not been reported. This is me just reading tea leaves. If the Grizzlies did not feel good about getting a Jaron deal done,
they wouldn't be doing all the work around the edges to get it done.
I also don't think that they would have traded Dez. If you are really not feeling good.
Yeah, that's... I think that is really where, though, you could also look at what Kleiman has said or what he didn't say. Did not say a whole lot of him about Dez in the, you know, postseason, you know, team breakdown interviews.
Yep.
Not a lot there. And, I mean, he's made it seem pretty clear that they do think that there's a different direction they need to go in. Because if they kept that $40 million on, you know, on the books for this year, they'd be able to do literally nothing.
Yeah, but if you were not getting the warm and fuzzies from Jaron, and you put, I think they would have put Jaron on the block, and Jaron could have been an interesting piece because largely, I assume what would happen is a team that wants Jaron would look to extend him. So I think you would do that, and at the price, Jaron could give you a pretty big return considering you're getting essentially an all-star at
and a former DPOY,
correct,
all that. And we saw the return that Dez got. Two roster players who, and that's the thing, I don't want to discredit or, you know, be disrespectful to both Cole Anthony and KCP. Those are both rotation players. Like, they could certainly fill into a rotation on a lot of teams, including the Grizzlies.
Yeah, it is odd to me that it feels like they do not want Cole Anthony on the roster, but the question that I have is, if you're this actively trying to move him and you can't find a deal for him, is he just going to play? I mean, right? That's the...
Yeah. Maybe. I mean,
and I don't think
there's a spot for it. Like,
I do not think this is a worthless basketball player. I want to be very clear to your point. Well, then furthermore, it keeps getting back to the same issue, which is how many games of John Morant do you get? Because when Jeff's asking us, what do we think the win total is going to be? And we're arbitrarily, as not bookmakers, setting it at 42.5, 43 wins.
Yeah.
Well, my calculus is a little different if you tell me John Morant plays 65 games.
Oh, absolutely.
Because while
he raises both the floor and the ceiling of the team, that's the thing. He is one of those players where you say, okay, high tides rise all ships.
Well, I mean, I was trying to look it up. I mean, this used to be during the...
What was their win-loss record with him last
year? What I was saying. Like, I kept going back to that, whereas sometimes, like, we would really overanalyze it and whatnot. It's like, sometimes it can just be as simple as, like, they were, like, 17, 18 games over 500 when he played.
Yeah. My other big thing with the roster and when we're looking at a role for Cole Anthony versus what they already have on the roster, obviously, we all love Pippen. Scotty was fantastic for them last year. I mean, he did so much on both ends of the floor. But Cole Anthony and Scottie Pippen Jr., to me, are very different players. To me, in Cole Anthony, you have someone who can run the floor a little bit more. I mean, like, really kind of, I don't want to say dictate the offense, but be the playmaker.
But he is more of a pure point guard than Scotty. Feels like he's always been a two guard that is playing
a point guard's body.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about that last. I mean, we even saw it in the playoffs.
Yeah,
I mean,
so the Grizzlies finished the year 30-20 when Ja was on the floor.
I mean, first off, that's a decent sample size.
Yeah,
10 games over .500 is not marginal. That's pretty, pretty important piece.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk to somebody who's got a better grasp of this. Chris Harrington is going to join the program. He'll tell us about his latest column and what's going to happen with the Grizzlies next. We'll discuss that on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Looking for a sign to start that summer home refresh finally? Look no further than Blinds.com. Early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale is happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop early access to Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale now. Save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.